Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Amen. Open into your Bibles to Psalm number 23, verse number 5. And I want us to read in concert. Psalm number 23, verse number 5. Is somebody here with me? Shall we read together? Everybody go. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In other words, my cup overflows. Oh my God. Let there be an overflow. There's a word of the Lord to somebody this morning. And I want to prophetically release it even before I begin to share God's word with you. That prophetic word says that everything that you have been through this year was preparing you for an overflow. God is setting before you everything that you've been through. As a matter of fact, it was just a setup just to bring you to a place like this where there will be supernatural abundance. And everything you've been praying for, God says, I'm going to lay them on your table right before you in the presence of anyone who wanted to stop you, anyone who wanted to deny you, anyone who mocked at you, anyone who tried to push you down. God says, I'm going to put everything you have prayed for right in front of you. And not only in your presence, but in the presence of anyone who wanted to stop you. This morning, let there be an overflow. In your life, in your situation, Spirit of God, we celebrate you. Come on, raise your hands and celebrate Him for the overflow. Come on, raise your hands and celebrate Him for the overflow. Come on, give Him praise. Come on, give Him praise.
I'm anticipating. I'm waiting for overflow. For overflow.
Father, we thank you for this moment. We believe that you have brought us in such a time like this, that we will know your will and your purpose for our lives, that we will not waste our time, but we will walk in that which you have instituted for us. Spirit of God, this morning, have your way. Speak your word like never before. Use me as a vessel of honor. Let everyone that heareth your word be blessed. Spirit of God, brood over your word for supernatural performance and a change of heart. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. In Jesus' the blessed name, amen. Somebody be seated in the presence of God. Shout and overflow. As I indicated by the prophetic utterance that came from the Spirit of God, that everything that you have been through was to prepare you for such a time in your life every difficulty, every hardship, every pain, every tears was to prepare you for a time like this. I just want you to know that God is still mindful of you in spite of what you go through. He still cares for you. He has never left you alone. There are times we go through situations, we go through certain conditions of life, and it looks like we are all alone. It looks like God doesn't even hear our prayer. It looks like because of what we did before, the mistake of the past, or the failure not to be meet the target has brought us to our present predicament. But I came with a mindset of God to let you know that everything you have been through was just a setup. God is on your side. Can I repeat that again? I said, God is on your side. Upon this premises, we saw David trying to recount his experience with God and how through many waters, through many fire, through many temptations, trials, and tribulations, God brought him through. That in spite of what he could go through, in spite of what could happen to him, God was still on his side. He came to an experience to know that God was not just a God to him, but he was a good shepherd. Therefore, in Psalm number 23, verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He could be anybody's shepherd. He could be our shepherd. He could be there for everyone. But David saw the relationship and the intimacy, the fellowship that he had with God as a personal possession. He didn't relate to God like any other person will relate to God or how the group will relate to him. He saw God as taking a personal interest also in his life. God is my shepherd. That is a personal possessive noun. My shepherd. God is my shepherd. I believe that this season, somebody is going to understand and know the need of God and how God is going to express himself to you. You're going to come to a point in time in your life where you will understand that God may be for everyone, but for you, he is your personal property. And I wonder the extent to which the God of all creations, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who made everything that we see, the God who even created or made David, the God who actually brought him that far, the God who actually is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, could lower himself to be possessed by a man. Come to think of it, it takes the greater to possess the lesser. But here, David being the lesser now possesses the greater. God is my shepherd. It didn't just come by mere rhetoric, but it came by a personal experience. You need to walk with God to a certain level to be able to know him, that he is not just your God, but he is your shepherd. Many may see God in different perspective and in different direction. But you will come to a place in your life to really understand who really God is to you. He is a good shepherd. In the same way, Jesus also presented himself to us as the good shepherd. So in his experience, he understood better how he relates to his sheep. The same way God also relates to him. The way he takes care of his sheep is the same way God also takes care of him. God is my shepherd. The shepherd protects. The shepherd provides. The shepherd leads. The shepherd always makes sure that the sheep are in safety. I believe you have come thus far this year by faith, leaning on God and trusting only on his word. But you and I must come also to the point to understand that it took somebody to lead us to where we are now. It took somebody to have brought us this far. It took somebody to have protected us against all kinds of attacks and everything that rose up against us. There were many trials, there were many temptations, there were many difficulties on our path, but God brought us through. Many have lost their lives. Many went through what you went through and couldn't survive. But you went through the same thing, and here you are singing praises and honor to God. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we have been by now? David said that the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. I just want somebody with enough faith in your spirit, somebody with tenacity, somebody with the ability to break every odd and to break every famine and break every curse of poverty, to declare with me that I shall not lack. Come on, put it there for me. Oh, I wish somebody can announce this to your creditors, can announce it to those that you owe, can announce it to your employers, can announce it to everywhere your sources of income come from, that you shall not lack. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. You shall not lack. You shall not lack. Today, you are bringing an end to every lack in your life. I wish somebody can make this your prayer. And not just a prayer, can make it your decision. That from today, you will not lack anymore. Today, you and lack are parting ways. Today, you are breaking the generational curse of lack and want, poverty in your life. Why? The Lord is your shepherd. Every want in your life, this month is coming to an end. This month and beyond, I came to announce to you that let everything around you hear that you are not in lack anymore. Oh, can I preach a little bit better right now? Because I sense in my spirit that somebody's lack is coming to an end. Oh, I don't know what you have been through, but I came to let you know that in spite of what could happen, you are still here. And God has made provision for you. And God says that this is not just the end. I'm going to cause you to overflow. Therefore, the overflow starting with me seizing your lack. Oh my God. I don't know anybody who has had an overflow and still in want and still in lack. No, before there can be an overflow, God will have to break that famine. God will have to break that lack. God will have to break that poverty. I came to let you know, before any overflow, your season of lack has ended. I said your season of poverty has ended. I don't know who you are, I don't know what you have been through, but I came as a prophetic man and I declare unto you today, you cannot be in overflow if you are still wandering in lack. No, the two cannot coexist. The two cannot coexist. Before there can be an overflow, There must be an end to lack. David understood it better, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Today, before I continue, I pray in the name of Jesus. Let every lack come to an end in your life. I speak to the poverty of your ancestors that has culminated into your own difficulties and challenges, struggles that you have been through. I speak to the root of every lack and want in your life. I speak in the name of Jesus that your season of lack has ended. So everything that David in fast tracking, because I can't go through everything and verse by verse and trying to just you, because time will not allow me to go into that. But everything that David was talking about, every blessing, every benefit, when you go through the whole scripture, you see that he leaded me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leaded me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then you talk about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest it. Now you see, everything that David enjoyed, everything that he spoke of, was premised on the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. He is a good shepherd. So he will lead you beside the still waters. That is for another day. He lead me beside the still waters. He lead me. I don't want to go into it because of time, but he lead you beside the still waters. He lead you beside the still waters. Could it be possible that God could lead you somewhere just to look at it and not to drink it? Is anybody here with me? I mean, he will lead you by the still waters like that. So you'll be surrounded, or you will surround yourself with still waters. Come to think of it, why should God lead them there? Not to drink right from there. But he lead them by the still waters. So you just want to eventually say that, look, this is where you belong. This is where you are. This is where I'm taking you to. This is your destination. This is where I'm bringing you to. Before God will do anything in your life, he will first give you a preview. Don't expect to be there if you haven't seen it yet. Come on, can I push this better? Don't expect to be there if you haven't seen it. Everything that you want to be must come to you by vision. You must see it before you become it. You must see it before you become it. God will give you a preview to whatever he wants to do in your life. Thank God I can see. Because so long as I can see, then anything is possible. I can have that which I see. That which I see in my mind's eye is possible to me. You see, anything, the other day, the Lord took Abraham to that high mountain and said that, Abraham, stand on this mountain and look as far as your eyes can see, then I can give it to you. As far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see, if I can only see it, then it is possible for me. Oh yes. I don't know what you are seeing. I don't know what you started seeing from the beginning of the year. Some of you may have thrown down your resolution. Some of you may have cast away your expectations. Some of you have given up on that which you expected. Some of you think that it is no more possible. How, looking at how far the year has come, I don't think that is possible, and you have almost given up. But I came with a prophetic word to somebody. Did you see that which God shown you from the beginning of the year? Then he wants you to know that it is still possible. I came to challenge somebody and say that your marriage is still possible. Your health is still possible. That which you still believe and see, it is still possible. Oh, come on, Ayada. And it's coming to you right there. How could you imagine he could take you beside the still waters? And all that he wants you to know is that this is where you belong. I came to let you know that you have moved from the moment of lack. Somebody was just transported. Somebody just had a shift in your spirit right now. I said you have just been moved from that scantiness, from that scarcity. You have been moved from famine into your supernatural abundance. It wasn't just a water, it wasn't just a pool of water, but look at the expression, he leads me beside the still waters. I pray that you will drink to your full. Oh, come on, I pray that you will drink to your full. Everything that you have been struggling for, everything you have been praying for, everything that, oh my God, can I pray to somebody today? I feel an anointing upon me this morning, because when I was coming, I was praying to God, the Father, what do you have for your people? Because it's so vague and big for me to be able to express that which you want to download upon your people. In fact, my capacity is not enough to be able to receive everything. But I ask the Lord to give me just one word for somebody this morning. And that word says that everything you have been praying for, everything you have been lacking for, oh my God, could it be possible? You have been crying about it, you have been praying about it, moving from prayer meetings to prayer meetings. All you are expecting that God will do something, and God will not just do one thing, but he's bringing you into supernatural abundance. All of a sudden, everything has changed about you. All of a sudden, that which you are crying for has now turned to be your joy. All of a sudden, your mourning has turned into dancing. Is there anybody here who sees a shift taking place in your life? Come on, give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise. All of a sudden, everything is turning around. Everything is changing. You should be in a position of lack to be able to appreciate how it feels to have water or to have plenty. Many of you were born into plenty and therefore can't appreciate what it means to have plenty around you. But if you came from a background of lack and want, then you will know what the Lord has done for you. You will know the abundance in which he has brought you in. I hear prophetically that somebody is in tears, somebody's crying, but God, within the twinkling of an eye, within a shift, within the moment, oh my God, all of a sudden, everything is going to turn around for your good. I see it turning for your good. Not just a pool of water, but he says still waters. Now let me just expound on this, and then maybe I leave the rest for another day. You should understand that as a good shepherd, he knows more than what you need. He knows more than what you need. He knows more than what you can have. And he always wants to beat your imagination and beat that which you expect. He knows your frame. He knows your strength and your weaknesses. He knows what you can do for yourself and what you cannot do for yourself. That is why he's always there to help you. Many of you have been trying with your abilities, your strength, and to be able to make it, but it is not working. Relax, the shepherd got your back, my God. He's got your back. He's got your back. You don't need to struggle through anymore. You don't need to push yourself through anymore. Relax. He got your back. Because he leads them not to the waters where the currency is so high. I mean, you can imagine sheep, they are dumb. As a matter of fact, they don't like hey. They don't like a place where there's rowdiness. They don't like a place where there's confusion. They don't like a place where they can be distracted. They, in fact, they are not able to drink well where the currency of the river is so high. Why is it so? Because the possibility of them being overwhelmed, the possibility of them being overwhelmed by the currency of the river is so high. You know, when you look at the physiological, appearance of sheep, you realize that their upper part is bigger than their legs. And they can easily be drowned in water when the currency is so high. When the movement of the water is so rapid, they can't drink to their comfort. They cannot be able to be satisfied. Now, this is a good shepherd who knows your frame, knows your weakness, knows where you can stand, who knows what could happen to you, knows everything about you, knows everything that could ever happen to you, and therefore leads you to the still waters where you can drink to your satisfaction, where you can drink without any chaos or confusion, where you can drink without any form of attack. I came to let you know that God is bringing you to the still waters. No, this could be prophetic to just only one person here. I said, God is bringing you to your still waters. Could it be possible that you have been running around so much? Could it be possible that you are panting? Because anytime you get ready to enjoy any blessing, that the enemy comes after you. Just as something good is coming to you, then something happens, and all of a sudden you give up and then you run away. Could it be possible that you have always been running from one thing to another, but none has been able to succeed nor work for you? Could it be possible that somebody is after you, and for that reason, and it is possible that when you lead the sheep to in the desert or in the wilderness, you should also know that the good shepherd knows that there are wolves who could come around to pounce on them and to destroy them, to kill them. So it could be possible that the enemy is always after you, running after you. This year somebody has been running. You've been running for your life. You've been running for breath. You've been running to get that which you need. You've not got a time to actually relax. Come to the place of rest and drink to your full and drink to your satisfaction. But I came with a prophetic mandate this morning that this month and beyond, even in your year 2020, God is bringing you to the still waters. I just felt the anointing right now. I said, God is bringing you to your still waters. And you are drinking to your full. No more attacks. No more difficulties. You will drink to your satisfaction. Oh my God. I said somebody is drinking to your satisfaction. And every test in your life is quenching up. I said every test in your life is quenching up. Every hunger you feel in your soul is coming to an end. Shout, the Lord is my shepherd. So I just don't want to go into the details of the whole scripture of Psalm number 23. But as I give you a prelude to everything that David has to go through, was to prepare him for a season, for a moment, you should see Psalm number 23 as the end of the movie, where you know the movie already and you are watching again. You should see Psalm number 23 as someone who has gone through something and recounting his story. Everything that has happened was not just about to happen. Everything that has happened in Psalm number 23 had happened before. And David is trying to let us know why he went through all this. All because, for a reason and for a purpose. came to encourage somebody, it is not over until God says it's over. God has your back. And before the 31st night, you and I are going to have a story to say. Oh, can I push this better? I said, you and I are going to have a testimony to share. You and I are coming to the place where we will also say that the Lord is mine. He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Can I push further this morning? So he came to a place where he saw God not only delivering him, not only taking care of him, not only just supplying what he needed, but God set a table before him. Wow. What a moment of celebration. So there could be light at the end of the tunnel. Then there is hope for you. You can smile back after you lost everything. Then there's still hope for you. What is God up to? You sat in a table before me. Wow. I want you to see David as somebody who has gone through a lot, gone through wars, gone through many turbulent situations. And all of a sudden, God says, I'm setting a table before you. The understanding of a table, number one, is for celebration. Just write it. It's more like a feast or celebration. It means God is going to cause you to celebrate everything you have suffered for. It shall be your celebration. Those who responded are receiving it. Your weeping are going to turn into joy. Your tears are going to turn into laughter. I believe this morning is a prophetic morning. Is somebody here with me? Every difficulty is going to turn into your testimony. He set a table before. Number two, to set a table, to set means to make things right, to put things in order, to put things in order. To set a table also means to put things in order. Now, it is possible that all this while, God may have allowed the enemy to have had his way, some way, somehow, but not to have touched you. Because somewhere he said, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So it is possible that you were going through the valley of the shadow of death, but he didn't remain there. And it took God to help you to be able to go through that which you went through and never get caught in there. Come on, somebody must understand me better. It took the hand of God, his rod and his staff, to be able to went through what everybody went through but lost their mind. It took the power of God to be able to go through that which many went through but couldn't make it out, for you to be able to come out. Am I speaking to somebody? So he set a table before you, meaning that the devil may have attacked you, but he couldn't destroy you. You may have gone through certain situations, But it couldn't affect you. It couldn't stay on you. You went through the valley. In fact, it is not a good thing to go through the valley experience. Every valley experience is a difficult experience. Because in the valley, that is where you have darkness, total darkness covering you. And it is hard when you don't know your way out and you're still walking in darkness. Is anybody understanding me this morning? So it took God to went through the valleys and still came out strong. Is somebody here with me? And therefore God says, I should tell somebody, even though the devil had some attacks on you, even though the devil came against you one way, but flee in seven other ways, even though there were some turbulences in your life, I, the Lord, am ready to make things right again. I don't need to shout this, but I know those who are this for have received this. Is anybody here with me? I am ready to set a table before you. Means I'm going to make it right again. The devil may have had enough space in your life, but I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. But to set a table again before you also means that it also means fellowship and communion. Fellowship and communion. Fellowship and communion. See, fellowship and communion. Now, remember that God is our Father. And His fatherhood to us makes us have relationship with God. There's one thing to have a relationship with somebody. And there's another thing to have a fellowship with somebody. Many a times, as children of God, we come into relationship when we are born again. When we become born again, God becomes our Father. Say, God is my Father. Come on, say it like you are here. So, God is your Father. But the difference between us and other Christians or other children of God, or the difference between the one who is receiving from God and the one who is not receiving from God, the difference of the one who is getting blessed with God and the one who is not getting blessed, even though God is all our Father, we all belongs to Him, but there are differences. I mean, it's the level of your fellowship, your communication, your level of your communion with God, the level at which you are able to relate with God, that determines how much is downloaded to you. Your level of fellowship, your level of fellowship, and fellowship simply means your interaction, your communion, your ability to be able to communicate with God, how smooth you are with God determines how God, for example, every son is mandated every morning to go and ask your daddy, "Daddy, good morning." And after greeting your daddy will want to check on you and find out whether you are good and everything is going right with you and whether you need something. And therefore, if you have any request, you want to put it to your father and say that it is possible, though the father may know your school fees has to be paid, but you still want to say, "Daddy, it looks like my fees has not yet been paid yet." You see, there is a communication between son and father, because the son did not just wake up in the morning and left the house without acknowledging the presence of his father. In fact, I learned this well when I became a father. I have two strong sons. One is the eldest and one is the strongest. They have given themselves the title. So one, the senior one says that I am the eldest. And then the junior one says that I am the strongest. I don't know who taught them this. But the junior one doesn't want to accept the fact that he's the junior brother. So he said, "I am the eldest." He said, "I am the strongest." And that is how they live at home. Now when I get to the house, And then the strongest will come and meet me on the way. Daddy, 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 daddy. I feel so proud. Then I look at the eldest and say, ah, maybe the eldest is right doing his church somewhere. And hadn't even heard that daddy is in. Sometimes I feel ignored. And I feel like sometimes we could all be in the bedroom. Their mommy will be there and I will be there. And they will all come to their mommy. And they will greet, mommy, good morning, mommy, good morning. And daddy will be lying there, not even a word. I feel so ignored. Amen. And sometimes I take it that they are kids. They don't know what they're doing. But then, upon second thought, that is how we relate to God. There is no fellowship. There is no communication. So later on, if the elders come to me and say, daddy, we are done. Can you please take us to school? And then I'm like, when you came, did you even greet me? Do you understand? Fellowship. Tell somebody fellowship. So God is expecting more than a relationship with him. He also expects what? Fellowship. Now, why is it that we don't have fellowship with God? Many are not having fellowship with God, not because they don't want to, but their fellowship with God has been truncated because of the troubles of this world, the challenges of life, the perplexities and the vicissitudes of life. They go through all kinds of issues and they forget about their father. Like the eldest and the strongest, before they will bump into the bedroom, they have an issue with their mommy. And they are coming to what? Settle with it. So they don't have anything to do with daddy. Unless they have issue with daddy before they want to come. Is somebody understanding me? Now, for everything that you go through is to break your fellowship and eventually your relationship with God. Every difficulty, every problem that comes your way is to break your fellowship. Because without your fellowship, you cannot please God and you cannot receive from God. It takes only the communion. That is why Paul taught us in prayer. He said that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit, and we relate with God through our spirit. That is the fellowship we have with him. Is somebody here with me? Now, in Romans chapter number 8, somewhere verse number 35, 36, 37 downwards, Paul was recounting the things that could break your fellowship. He talked about something. I thought you were already there. He talked, Romans chapter number 8, start from verse number 35. Wow. The Bible says that there shall not be neither death, nor famine, nor strife, nor hunger, nor anything, nor sword, persecution. You see, he said that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, what shall separate you from the fellowship you have with God? Now, he talked about tribulations. He talked about distress. He talked about persecution. He talked about famine. And he talked about nakedness. And he talked about peril and so on. All these are there to break your fellowship. Somebody is coming to a place. Now, the psalmist says, God set a table before me. Wow. And the setting of table means fellowship. It means that whatever you went through, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, whatever sword, famine, whatever distress, tribulation, temptation, whatever came your way couldn't break your fellowship with me. So I'm setting a table before you to prove that I'm still with you. And you must understand that the reason why many of you are not seeing the setting of table is that most of you give up sometimes in the valley of the shadow of death. You give up on God just because you went through something. But little did you know that it was just a setup to bring you to a place where God is going to set a table before you. What is breaking your fellowship with God? What is breaking your fellowship with God? Yes, everything I understand, everything you are going through is to stop you from fellowshipping. Everything that you have been through is to bring you to a place where you even say that God has failed me. God couldn't come through for me. But I came that if you don't give up, if you don't relent, if you don't give in to the lies of the enemy, if you don't give up in the tribulations and the temptation, the difficulties and the perplexities that you're going through, God is about to set a table. And the table is a proof that you are still in fellowship. Are there people in fellowship? Let me tell you, so long as we are in this world, you will go through something. Never take it for granted that when you become born again, you are trouble-free. You are not. I think I'm just dwelling too much on this. So, he set a table before me. It is before you, but it is not going to be done in absentia of anyone who thought you couldn't make it. It is going to be done for you before you. So that which you saw is going to be a reality. That which God revealed to you is going to be a reality. And it is not just going to be done only to you. It's going to be done for you. But it's also going to be done in the presence of your enemy. Don't ever wish for your enemies to die. That is the greatest mistake you will ever do. Pray that they leave. Come on, pray that they leave. Because if they don't leave, you don't prove a point. If they don't leave, you don't what? You only prove a point when they live to see that after all, whatever you went through was for a reason. Wow. Isn't that amazing that God is bringing somebody here just to shame those who thought you couldn't make it? Those who thought that you are a failure. Yesterday I was citing many examples. And I intentionally didn't say mine. And I'm going to say mine. My first encounter on radio was at Focus FM. That is when we were in school. I mean, we started with the Focus FM. That is where this prayer line you see today started at Focus FM. I started with my father, the Apostle Samuel Intim. And could you imagine we could go to the studio? That time it was so bad. We could go to the studio and pray all night thinking that the whole Kumasi is listening, not knowing the transmitter is off. And we didn't have any idea. Oh yeah. It was later that we got to realize that every morning that we'll be going, the transmitter was off. And nobody was telling us. So we're praying, doing the prayer line in there for ourselves. We are laughing. Somebody is blessed. Then for some reason, the focus went down completely because they had challenges. That was way back on campus, talking about 2003, 2004, thereabout. So as we completed school, I had passion for radio. I had passion for radio. And I don't know, for some reason, I loved radio. But in those days, it was very difficult to break through. I mean, just to get on somebody's set. And therefore, I opted to be a volunteer at Spirit FM just to help with them. And then, So I went there with a little experience I had, and it was good. Personally, I feel that when you're doing something that is good, you know it's good. I was one there, and then the general manager, now he's no more, he's dead, came to me and said, Bayou, you don't have a radio voice crowd. Those were they said, you don't have a radio voice. You don't qualify to even sit by the microphone. In fact, these words broke me. It broke me down. So I spent about 3 months there, and then I left. And I had given up on radio because somebody says that I don't have what? A radio voice. So I was asking myself, what then is a radio voice? But I never gave up. My passion somewhere, somehow, and every humiliation I've been through was preparing me for a time like this. The frustration we had at Focus FM, not giving up, even praying for ourselves when we thought that we were praying to the whole Kumasi. I never gave up on it. And I say to the glory of God, now if you are looking for one of the voices in the morning, people call me and say, this guy, has he lived in the U.S. before? My friends in U.K., pastors call me and say, but you, your voice, what do you do with it? When you are on radio, your voice is completely different. I came to let you know that God set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Those who thought I couldn't make it. Now, I thank God that I got on Love FM before the general manager died. And I heard that he told somebody that, is it not Obed at Love FM? And he said, yeah. So, hey, this guy, I didn't know he could be that good. If he knew at that time, he could have just drawn me back. But it was too late. I don't know your mistakes, your challenges, your difficulties. But God is about to set a table before you. In the presence of your enemies. I read about great Margaret Thatcher. Historians here may know about her. People who read on government may know about her. Do you know that she had a problem with speech? She couldn't pronounce certain words, especially some words with S and T. And do you know that for every speech that she had to read before she became a president, she had to rehearse it for more than 24 hours? And she will intentionally omit the words that would give her problem in those speech. But when her opponents were using her mistakes and her flaws against her, God raised her to become one of the greatest presidents or prime minister that Britain has ever known. God prepared a table before her in the presence of him. Let me give you one last example. Albert Einstein had to drop out of school at the age of 8 years, all because a teacher spoke to him and said that he is good for nothing. That got into him and came out of school at the age of 8 years. But now as we stand, his name is everywhere. And I believe God has set a table before him in the presence of him. I want you to know, for everything you have suffered for, this is your season for God to set a table. Oh, I wish I had the right people here. Come on. I said, I wish I had the right people here. I said, God is about to set a table before you in the presence of your enemy. I came to let you know, don't be distracted by what you're going through. Stay focused. Come on, push somebody and say, stay focused. You don't know what is about to drop on you. You don't know what is about to happen to you. You don't know something is coming so your way. Therefore, don't give up. Not only so, but he's saying that he's going to cause your cup to overflow. Which means that you are moving from scantiness to plenty. From scarcity to overflow. From lack to plenteousness. You are lacking today. I prophesy over your life. There's going to be avalanche of that which you need to the extent that it's going to beat your imagination. It's going to beat your expectation. God is about to blow your mind. I came to introduce to you your season of 235. It is your season. I said it is your season. Come on, I said it is your season. If you believe it, shout yeah! Whoa! 235. Your cup will run over. God says, as you tell somebody, your cup is about to run over. Your health system is about to run over. Your finances are about to run over. Everything God spoke to you is about to run over. Till it overflows. Not just enough. Somebody don't just need enough. Because you have suffered enough to have just enough. Your waiting has been so long just to enjoy enough. But God is not going to only give you enough, but he's going to cause overflow. Overflow is not just to have a cup full, but overflow is to have a spillover. Oh no, come on, am I speaking to people here? You are too dull for my liking. Is anybody here? Come on, shout! That I do, I come into an agreement and I come into a covenant with my people. Sometimes, as I said, we may all be under the same umbrella, the same atmosphere, but some may God blessed and some may not God blessed. Why? Because of the way we respond to that which God is doing at any point in time. God says, I'm bringing you into a season of overflow. And that season needs your quicker response. In that season, you don't withdraw. In that season, you don't recoil. In that season, you don't lay back. In that season, you don't become adamant. It means in that season, you rise up to the occasion and you do your part of the covenant. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is a deal enacted by God based on a well-defined terms and sealed with an oath for delivery. A covenant is enacted by God based on a well-defined term and sealed with an oath for delivery. Can I repeat again? A covenant is enacted by God based on a well-defined term and sealed with an oath for delivery. In Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 15 to 18. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 15 to 18. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise God. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them at the end of all strife. Keep on. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That is a covenant. Now God says, okay, let's finish with the 18. Now everybody read with me. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set for us. God says that in this season of 235, I'm bringing you into a covenant. I'm making a personal covenant with you. That I, the Lord, am about to overflow you with supernatural abundance. Not for this month only, not for next month only, but throughout 2020, a year by this time, somebody seated under the sound of my voice or hearing me on the radio or internet is going to enjoy supernatural abundance, and every scarcity in your life has totally been eradicated and annihilated completely out of your life. If you are the one, shout it out. God sets a covenant, he doesn't break it. When God sets a covenant with you, he does not break it. Go to Jeremiah 33, verse 20 to 21. Everybody go. Then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son reign upon his throne, and with the Levites and priests, my ministers. Continue, verse 20. Host, no, where were we? Where we read 21, right? Okay, go to 20. Go to 20. I think you jumped. Everybody go now. Thus says the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. Hold it. Now, God is a covenant-keeping God. Many of you sing that song, but you don't understand. How many of you understand it now? Now, he says that when I come into covenant with you, until you are able to break the covenant of the day, which is, you are able to stop the day from coming forth, the sun from shining on the night from coming, then you can break the covenant that I have with you. So long as there is a day, God is reminding you that nothing can break the covenant I have with you. So whenever God speaks, it is final. And no one can break that covenant. But you should also know that covenant will never be established if one party breaks it. So if God is not breaking his covenant, then who is breaking his? Somebody is blessed. Then who is breaking his? Ah, mention the name. Who is sitting by you? Huh? Hallelujah. And every covenant has channels. Every covenant has channels. Say, every covenant has channels. Every covenant has channels. One covenant channel through which we are able to respond to that which God wants us to do is in Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22. Say Genesis 8:22. Now he says that whilst, everybody go with me. Seed time and harvest. Cold. Amen. So one channel or the covenant through which we can also receive that which God has spoken is through your seeding and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. So for anybody to tap into that which God is doing, one channel is your seeding and your heart. You should know that if you don't seed, you don't harvest. I've never seen someone who says, I'm a farmer. As for me, I won't grow. I will never hurt. Grow, but I will harvest. You are a thief. You are hurt. Somebody's blessed. So, as I'm trying to end, I believe that God is speaking to you today. For everything you have suffered, you are almost there. So don't give up. Don't give in. But God says that I'm about to release some outpouring on you to the extent that you will not even have rooms for. I'm going to bless you such and such to the extent that you have to go borrow vessels and fill in. But I need you to also respond to your part of the covenant. I want you to be on your feet.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church. Manna fed, manna satisfied.